Okay, we dedicate tonight's learning as Lili Nishmas, Freida Esther Bas Rabbi Yehuda Leib. Nishama should have an aliyah, the mother of our most dedicated member who sits on high and watches us from the Ezra Snashim. So Nishama, whose Yotzei was today, I'm sure has a lot of nachas. We are in our print on page 130 of the Maamar HaSheni, which is towards the end, or slightly more than halfway, through Ois Nun Vav. And the context here, the Chavar had presented to the Kuzari that even holy intentions and holy desires are meaningless unless you serve Hashem in the way He wants. So here he sticks in, well, first of all, in the second line, it's a very eloquent statement, with which we ended last time. Ki ha-machshavais ha-zakais, asher rayasam maisim, machshavais ha-zakais, clear thoughts, proper and devoted thoughts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sherayasam maisim mitubayim shehem koshim al nefesh ha-adam, achu oisa oisa betachas ha-taiva vi-ahava. It's the idea is that the machshavis hazakos, the good intentions to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are meaningful when they're rooted in actions which would otherwise be very difficult, and a person does anyway with dedication. Now, if I were to ask you to give me a list of hard mitzvahs in the Torah, I'm not sure which ones you would pick. I don't have any that are hard.
Kibbut Aveim,
okay, that's a hard mitzvah. Especially the older we get, the more we're for it, right? Because we're on the receiving end. Yeah. But Limud HaTorah, Hasmada and Limud HaTorah. Concentrating on learning, focusing. All these are the type of mitzvahs that I would think are the difficult mitzvahs, maybe Yom Kippur. So what's interesting is he has here a list. They're all financial, every single one. He says, "Bahalicha el mokay." Well, the first one, not really. "Bahalicha el mokay mi'amakaymais lochuk shloisha pamim bashana." He says, three times a year, all the Jews have to travel up to Yerushalayim. That's not an easy mitzvah. "Umashadaymim minahitzayis va'atayreach," and it involves a lot of expense and a lot of bother. "Voiseyu betachlas hasimcha v'hagila," and that's chaksim chaseinu. He does it. A Jew does it with great joy. Now, here goes the financial list. "Uvaitzayis ma'aserishin." The spending a tenth to the Levi, which we don't mind giving, and a tenth to Maisasheni or Maisaani, Varayain, and the animals, the carbonria that we bring, Vazivas Tavoy Saaretz of Shvitas V'Yavlim, and allowing our produce of our fields to go Hefker on Shmita and Yavl. Spending money for Shabbos and Yom Tif, and then not going to work. Umanis bikurim ubechayrais, umanis kuhuna, voracious agez, voracious arisais, and the beginning of dough, which is challah. Mibiladai hanidarim and adavis, and more karbanis that we bring. Mavama shuchayibai al kol zadei mishgaga. It's expensive to do averis in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. You got to bring a carbon. Okay, a zada in an assay, you gotta bring an oila.
Did
he say Shemitah? Yeah, he said Shemitah Miyavlis, yeah. He said that, next to the last line, the previous page. Yeah, he did. You're trying to think of more mitzvahs that cost money. Vashlamim, and the carbon shlamim, umau shulchayir ba, you mean a carbon, it's al mikrim, ashif ku ben atomis. Sometimes you have to bring a carbon when things happen that make a person tame. Not every tumah needs a carbon, but some do. Al kaleida. Shetihalai, every time a woman gives birth, she has to bring a carbon. V'chol ziva, and every time she has, bleeds, dam ziva, and not regular dam nida, which doesn't need a carbon, but ziva, under certain circumstances where she has to bring a carbon. V'chol tzaras, v'zula saharbeni, have plenty of carbonis that we have to bring. So, it's expensive to be a Jew. Kolzeh b'mitzvah me'esel ekim. All those we bring because God commanded us. Lo yimasechel b'nei adam v'schak musay. These are not logical mitzvahs. They're mitzvahs that Hashem commanded. Vein b'yecholus habasar laseis ezeh al sidrei. U'min hagei v'erkai. And no human being would create this particular set with this order and the, with all these customs, and wouldn't he be afraid? Could a person create this and not be afraid to create a society which is not financially stable? Kilu Shir Yisrael. It's as if God measured the Jewish people. Vishir Tvus Eretz Kanan, Simchau Behemta, Vishir Shevet Levi. He's saying, how, you make these rules for an economy, and you're saying the economy can survive. How can a human being do that, spend so much money? God measured the Jewish people. The land, Eretz Kanan, Simcheha, it's sprouts, whatever it grows, Ubehemta, and the animals, Bishir Shevet Levi, and he estimated what the Levim need. Betziva b'midbar be'erachin ha'ela. Before the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, still in the midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded these payments. Neshiyadar, because only God can know. Kishistadeh ha'erach hazeh yisharu Yisrael ashirim v'yichasa l'levim davar, l'levim davar. That on the one hand, the Jews will be able to pay it. On the second hand, the recipients will have enough. V'loi yagia ha'inyin l'dalos shevet a mishpacha, without causing poverty to a shevet or a family. For example, God commanded us on Yovel. And really, that's the most amazing of all the mitzvahs, and we don't realize it, that every Yovel, Jews went back to their original portion that was given to them in the time of Yeshua. Now, I want to explain that. We all know that if you sell a field, when Yovel goes, the sale is invalidated and it goes back to its original owner. The sale is every time you sell a field in Eretz Yisrael, it's only until Yovel. If you're selling a field 2 years before Yovel, you're not going to get too much money for it.
It's almost like a 99 lease.
Almost like a 90. So it's halfway to a 99 lease, right? But
it's
That's not to do with the Torah. That's the socialist government has that nobody owns land. It's a socialist government, and it's such a crazy government that the Knesset. You know who owns the land under the Knesset?
The Greek
church. The church. Crazy country. You know, in all the other countries, they took Jewish land and they just took it. And we, anyway, but getting back here, the point I want to make is that we all know that in Yovel, a sale goes back. Now, the Gemara, it's actually a machlekes in the Gemara, if Yarshim Shechalku Kulakuchai saying. If you hold that Yarshim Shechalku Kulakuchai saying, that means that when children inherit, they're like buying. In other words, two children inherit a parent's inheritance. So all that entire inheritance belongs totally, every bit of it belongs to the two of them together, b'shutfis. The two brothers make up. The father left two homes. So you get one home, I get another home. That's yarshim shechalku kilakuchai sein. It's like they sold, I sold you my chelik, and you sold me your chelik. Every yovel, it's a balagan. Yeah, I don't know, how can a society be this way? Every yovel, the division of Yarshim becomes retroactive. It doesn't become retroactively absolved, but if it's absolved mekanul haba, that means that when Yeshua came into the land, there was your great-great-grandfather, let's say you're in Shevet Yehuda. So you had a great-great going back, let's say 800, 900, 1,000 years in time of Yeshua. All the descendants of that man, it's beautiful, they all have to come together. It's a family get-together again. Hopefully they all get along. I mean, if you're talking so many generations, and they all get together, and they have to divide the Yerusha all over again. So they have to divide the land all over again. They can make whatever agreement they want. If they found oil on one land, so now they're gonna, it's worth more. So in practical terms, I have to imagine that arrangements were made in Eretz Yisrael to try to limit the damage done. How do you worry? How would anybody invest anything in a piece of land if you build a house or invest any capital improvements in a land? It's one thing if you buy it, you know, you have it till 50 years. But here, there's nobody. Nobody really has anything. It gives a certain sense. It's a very It's a good sense of Olam Hazeh. Everything is temporary in this world. But we think we're here forever. I mean, there's no question. It's a... we once discussed, I have girls from Russia. Well, you can own it, but eventually it goes back. Well, we have girls in Russia, and once at the Shabbos table, we were talking, like, where are the Jews going to be after America? So this one of the girls, you know, the teenage girls, they said, what do you mean, America? Nothing's going to happen. Jews are going to be in America until Mashiach comes, right? So I told them that 100 years ago, maybe I should have said 120 years ago, they said they're about the Jews in Russia, right? In the 1800s, the Jews in Russia are going to be there forever, right? In the early 1900s, the Jews in Europe are going to be there forever, right? Poland?
They never thought in Russia, they always treat
this. But Jews in Russia thought they're going to be there till Mashiach comes. Now, you live in Russia, Jews lived oppressed. It's not like today. Jews live knowing
in
that...
Germany, they thought they're going to live there forever.
In Germany, they thought they're going to live there forever. In Europe... Russia, they didn't wish to live there forever, but they certainly thought they were going to live there. And here in the United States, we're sure we'll be here till Mashiach comes, and hopefully Mashiach will come soon enough for that to be true.
But you negotiate an agreement retroactively that is prior to Shemitah. Instead of everyone getting together and having to leave properties, could you do beforehand?
Well, that would also be, you could do it, but the Yovel would knock that off. That agreement. Any sale agreement gets knocked off by Yovel. Well, my point I wanted to make is that it gives a very temporary sense of ownership of land. If you know your land, alright, it's true, the year after Yovel, you know you still have another 49 years, and you're 60 years old, so you figure, you know, it's not probably not going to affect me too badly. But for much of the time, it was only 30 years away, or 20 years away, or 10 years away, it gave a good sense of Olam Hazeh. That was the point that I wanted to make. Well, if they're family and they agree that, you know, going to try to keep things the way it's going, I imagine they tried to keep things the way it was going. You know, if I have a house and I fixed it up in a way that's adequate for, or goes according to my taste, it's a little hard to see that others are going to divide it. But
imagine in Eretz Yisrael, they kept losing the land, but they had to transfer, they had to change.
Well, they always ended up with land.
Well, it was this.
Yeah, okay, that's true. He's going to make that point in a minute. We'll see in a second. The king is going to say something about that. What? Yeah, people didn't move like today. Right, land went from ancestor to descendant. Yeah. What? Only when Yovel existed. Only till the 10 Shvat. It's true, it wasn't for a very long time. There's only 14 Yovels in the history of Klal Yisrael. But it's a funny thing. I grew up in Borough Park. We had Italians across the driveway. Italians, we got along with them very nicely. Alice was the mayor of the block, the little Italian lady on the block, and she got along with everybody. So she was already, I don't know how many generations in that house. And then her daughter, you know, Pauline, who married Mike, you know, they were going to be there forever. They let us play punch bowl in the driveway, you know, very nice people. And then the block just got too Jewish for Pauline and Mike. And they ended up selling to Jews. So they commented, like, it's so funny, you know, we thought we'll be here forever. You know, they tell us. We thought we'll be here forever. It was very Italian block. Okay.
Are they this Italian anti-Semitic?
They were, I don't know in their hearts, but they were very nice. They got along very well. They're not supposed to move, they just moved.
Well, they don't like Jews.
They love the Jews, but they want to have a block party with other Italians on the block. And they had block parties, and suddenly there were more and more Jews, and nobody wanted to put a table in the... They closed the block, and everybody's supposed to put that table in the middle and eat the barbecue with everybody else. And, you know, like, my father had to go to Night Seder. What?
The
hiring
of the Jews, their anti-Semitism, they were worried what happened at the other schools.
All right, let's leave our social analysis. Let's get back here. So we're here on page 133. So, kashetzim v'shtasei yevel lo shavah kol kashoyse v'shtasei yevel shayne mechil koretz b'chalukim v'digdukim yatsru hasefarim mehechilam. I guess it means that the svarim are not enough to tell you all the rules. Umishes b'ilam behem yakir. If you look at it, you realize nobody who lived in the Midbar, that was never in Eretz Yisrael, could write all these rules. No boss of Adam could write. Yishtabach v'Yisrael mim ha'chayshavam. Lo yaskei l'chol gayim shvatim v'yidom. They were commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For the Jewish people, v'nishra ha'seidah zeh b'shnei ha'batim. He says they listed in the two Beis HaMikdash, although it's true that Yovel wasn't the second bayis. Kamei elef tufkoshan, about 1500 years. Now here is a little bit of hyperbole. It wasn't 1500 years, it was 1300 and change. But you know, poets always exaggerate. On the bottom it bothers them. They say that they wanted to give a round number, 1500. Anyway, v'ilu halchu am al derech hanachayna, had the Jews behave? Hayamasmid kimei shemayim al aretz. This would have continued forever. So this is the second half of his response. The king had said that I see that the holy men of the other religions who practice abstinence, they're somehow holier. So he said, first he said that holiness comes from what Hashem commands, not from your own imagined sense of religion. And secondly, he says, look at our rules, our elaborate laws, and they're a sign of the devotion of Klal Yisrael. Now the king answers, Amar Kuzari. It's a pretty good answer. He says, you're telling me stories. Atem hayayim b'menucha gedayla me'ilu achayves ha'gedaylais. Today you're in Chutz La'aretz. You don't do any of this stuff. There's no Shemitah, there's no Yovel, there's no Karbanis, there's no Trumas, there's no Maestris, and even Challah today with Tomei, we barely give any, separate any Challah. And who can keep this whole thing? Like, who are you telling me about the Jews? That's the Jews. So he responds. Now, he doesn't. I don't see a direct response to the question. The question was, you're telling me a story, but that's not what I see. So the Chavar responds not directly to that challenge, but he talks about other aspects of Torah. Amar Achavar, Ha'eda, the Jewish people, Shetzaifa, Sha'insha v'goyim la li'ita b'taycha. So the Jewish people are people that believe that its punishment and reward is something which happens li'ita, in a prompt way, b'saycha, among the Jewish people, Raslaim Ashchina, Halaytira. He gives some examples where in the history of the Jewish people, an avera took place and the punishment was prompt, was immediate. Halei tira. Masha Omar Yeshua, Lestuchel Lavinas Hashem, Kilakim Kedoshim Hu. Very interesting speech at the end of Sefer Yeshua. Most people never learned it, because it's a Navi and it's also the last parak of Navi, which is always slightly more challenging because you gotta get there. But in his goodbye speech to Yeshua to Jewish people, he takes a very interesting attacked a very interesting approach. He says to the Jewish people that it's not easy, it's not easy. What do they say? He doesn't quite say stress idea, but he says, it's a big set of rules that you have here. In the Midbar, one thing, you're separated from everything. You keep the Torah. There are no movie theaters around. But here, you're in Eretz Yisrael. He tells them, "Leisuchlu lavides Hashem kilekim kadoshim heim." Not simple to serve God, because God is holy. It's very hard to explain why a leader would say that to his people, but maybe as a mashal it would help. My grandmother, Leah Shalom, she came here during World War I as a little girl, and my grandfather passed away when I was in elementary school. So there were a number of years where I used to go to Afa Shabbos every once in a while. That's when I got to go to Ramesha. So I remember once, I was a bit astounded when I was getting a little older and learning. So she used to tell me, it's not easy to sit and learn a whole day. Not easy to sit and learn a whole day. She didn't mean financially. She meant to sit and concentrate. It's not a simple thing. Now she didn't live in a time of Kailalim. It's an interesting thing because my grandfather, Oliver Shalom, he learned. And it's interesting, Agudah put out a book about its own history. And there on the cover, they had a mixture of pictures. There was my grandfather as a teenager. And described him as one of those who organized... my mother's side. Described that he organized the Siddharm of Learning, which was so nice to see. I barely knew him. But my grandmother used to tell me, it's not easy to sit and learn a whole day. It's very hard. People think it's easy. You don't go to work. You just want to sit and learn and concentrate all day. It's hard. She used to tell that to me. So the context in which she was saying was to be machshavit. She didn't mean to say you can't do it. She meant to say that it's a chash of a thing. It's an important thing. If you want to do it, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. So when we look at Yeshua saying, Loisuchlu lavid es Hashem ki lakim kadoshim, he's saying, you guys don't, you can't do this. It's hard work. To be a frum yidn Eretz Yisrael, it's not easy. You know, he tells them, decide now. Maybe you want to go to the Amayrim. You know, like he offers them an out. What exactly he meant. Like Eliyahu did at Har HaCarmel. He said, take your pick. He meant that Yeshua meant it in the context of it being important, chashuv, to dwell among, with a holy God among you. And, zeh, and you'll find that you gotta be careful how you step. For example, in Yericho was captured, and you know there was a cherem against anybody that takes from the, spoils. And of 3 million people, 600,000, adult males, one person took. The Sachin took. And the Pasuk says that Chatu Yisrael, that the Jewish people sinned. It was a disappointment. I would think it's pretty good. See, he says, I have 600,000 adult males, one sin, and they're all punished. It's a funny thing, there's a city today called Bet Shemesh. So Bet Shemesh. But what's Bet Shemesh? Bet Shemesh was a place where a Magefa took place. Bet Shemesh is the city in the beginning of Shmuel when the Plishtim captured the Arin. It was returned to Bet Shemesh. And the people of Bet Shemesh didn't behave properly towards the Arin. And there was a Magefa there, immediately. Now, I want to pick up on this. We're actually in the middle of an idea. A Magefa means the death of many. Many people died instantly.
Plague.
So, what?
Plague.
A plague, right. Okay, so Mitzvah Shemur, I guess we're going to pick up on it next week.